Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf tes. We're going to pick up the last three words on the bottom of Chesom Beis. As many have pointed out, today is a relatively short daf in number of lines or so. You could have slept. But the truth is, this is actually a very full daf. In fact, you know, like for those learning yeshiva, they often spend weeks on just this, the first 15 lines of this amud. So a lot going on here. We're going to try and spend less than weeks. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Ha'aymer Pesach Patsuach Matzasi Neman La'osra Alav. So this is talking, we're going back on our Mishnah when we first started the Masechta, talked about the fact that if the husband and wife got married, and the morning after, we talked about the fact that she got married on Wednesday, if he had a tainus besulim, he would come in on Thursday to Beis Din. And so the question we're going to, over the next coming days, we're going to talk about exactly the nature of this tainus besulim. But in any event, this Gemara is dealing with the husband comes in the next day and says, Pesach Patsuach Matzasi. He says, I found an open door. And what this is a reference to, we've talked a little bit in the past about the question, if they said whether there was blood, whether there was bleeding, that if there was no bleeding, that creates a question of whether the woman is a basula. Rashi explains that in this particular case, we're talking about a case where the blood wasn't relevant. Either she came from the family called Dorkati, which is a family who didn't used to have this kind of blood, or we're talking about a case where the sheets that they were on were lost. So this is not a question of whether or not there was blood, but the question here in particular is that he said that he felt that when he did the Maisa of Bia, that he felt no resistance, he felt no constriction, and that on that basis, that it demonstrated that she would have been with someone before. And the particular concern is that if she had relations with another man during the period that she was Mu'uras, we talked about this all the time, that there's Erisin and Nisuin, they're often separated by a year or more. And the concern is, once there's Erisin, if she in fact is together with another man, then she's now Usur to her husband. So he comes in and says, Pesach Patsuach Matzasi, I found an open door. As an aside, I remember some years ago after I had learned this, we were in Westminster, and there's a church in Westminster, has a big statue of the Virgin Mary, and right in front of it, it says the Church of the Open Door. So someone pointed out the incongruity of it, but okay. Go figure. Anyhow, so in any event, so he comes with this claim and says, I have this issue with her. And it says, Neman la'osra love, that he's believed to asa her on him. So let's be careful about what we're saying here. We're not saying that he's believed and therefore it's accepted as a matter of fact that she was Mizana and all the consequences that come with that. But rather, what we're dealing with, thank you very much, what we're dealing with here is the fact that he says, I'm certain that she's not a basula, and therefore she is going to become Asr on him as relates to him. We've had this concept before in a number of places, this concept of Shavia Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura. If someone says something is Asr to me, then it's considered Asr to him. And that's the case here because he's positive that she's not a Basula, and the concern is that she might have had relations during the time that they were after Erisin, that therefore she is Asr to him. So the Gemara says, why should that be so? Why should we say, even Rashi says, even if we believe him that she's had prior relations, it's a svek sveka. A svek sveka is a concept that often we know that when something is midaraisa, something's from the Torah, if there's a safek, we go l'chumra. If it's derabanan, we go l'kula. But there's another concept, which is a svek sveka. If you have a safek on a safek, so you have a double doubt, that in that case, even in something that's midaraisa, we answer in the more lenient fashion. So he's saying in this case, first of all, you have a safek tachtov, safek ain't tachtov. You have a question of, did it happen during the period between Erisin and Nisuin? Perhaps it happened before. If she had relations with a man before she was ever had Erisin with this gentleman, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't affect her status. So that's the first suffix. Who said that it happened during the period after Erisin? And even if you want to say that we would somehow figure out that it happened during the period of Erisin, Safik Ba'onis, Safik Baratzon. There is a doubt as to whether this happened, whether she was violated or raped or something of that nature, or whether she did it consensually. So even if she was engaged to a man, in fact, even if she's married to a man, if someone violates her and she does not do it willingly, she doesn't become usher to her husband. So on what basis, even if we believe him that she is not a basula, on what basis do we say that she should be usher to him?
This is where she stays quiet and says nothing.
So this is a case, correct. In other words, either where she says no, if she stays quiet or she protests and says I am a basula, we don't care. There is a case that the Mepharshim discussed that if she says no, you're right that I'm not a basula, but here's what happened, so and so, violated her or whatever it is. In that case, she would be believed. She would be believed. But otherwise, even if she's protesting, this is the halacha. And again, remember, we're not saying we believe him as a matter of fact in a court of law. We're saying we believe him as relates to him. And therefore, because he's saying he's positive, that if she's saying, I am a basul, and he says, you're not, for his purposes, she's not, because he says he's certain that she's not. So that's the case we're dealing with here. So the Gemara says, no, the Sfek Sfeika doesn't apply in all cases. And therefore, the case that we're talking about is a case where there's only one suffix. And the Gemara is going to give two categories where there's only one suffix. Each of the cases takes away one of the two sfeikas that we discussed. So the first one, Lotzricha Be'eshes Kohen. We're talking about an Eshes Kohen. We know that the halacha is that while I just finished saying that if a woman is violated or raped or something of that nature, she does not become usher to her husband. That is true in general. But if it's a Kohen, then she becomes usher to her husband, the Kohen. And that's an unfortunate fact. But you know, it's something that we learn from a pasuk that works that way. So therefore, under that scenario, if you're talking about an Eishes Kohen, the only inquiry is, did it happen during the time after Erisin, or did it happen before? The question of whether it was an Ones or a Ratzon is not relevant, because regardless, under that scenario, she would be usher to him. So this is a case where we have only one suffix, since we're talking about a suffix d'oraisa in a Torah matter, that therefore, we would go l'chumra, and that's why he's believed on himself to asa her to him. So that's the first teretz. V'ibayzema, we're talking about the Eishes Yisrael. We are talking about an Eishes Yisrael, so we're not dealing with a Kohen. Ukagon de kibo ba'avua kiddushin p'chusam ibaskimo shanim v'yomechud, where her father accepted kiddushin when she was less than 3 years and a day. Okay, so first of all, we're familiar with the halacha that a father can accept kiddushin for his daughter. So we're talking about a case where the father did that, and the father did it before the child was 3 years and a day. What's the significance of that? That the Gemara, we learned the Gemara Nida tells us that if a young girl less than three has her besulim or hymen ruptured, it's going to grow back. So therefore, that's a halacha we learned in the Gemara Nida. So the significance of this, let's just discuss the case here, is as follows. This, we're actually dealing, Rashi points out, with a girl who is past her bat mitzvah at this point. But the issue is she's been mu'uras. She had erisin from the time she was three. So when we said we had a svek sveka, the first suffix we had is, did it happen before erisin? In this case, we say if she does not have a basulim today, it could not have happened before erisin, because she's been mu'uras since before she was three. If she would have had relations with someone before she was three, her basulim would have grown back. So the fact that she doesn't have a basulim now means that it happened sometime after she was three. Since she always had erisin from the time she was three till now, we don't have a suffix whether it happened underneath this mu'uras, and therefore that first suffix is gone, and the only question is, was it ba'onis or was it baratzon? So therefore we're stuck with one suffix. If it's one suffix in a matter of midaraisa, we go l'chumra. So we've now answered, why is it that he's believed to asa her on himself for those two cases? The Mepharshim get into all kinds of questions, halacha l'maisa, what happens in the other cases? We don't have time for that right now. So Gemara says, fine, we understand the question, but now it says, my kamash malon, what kind of chiddush is Rabbi Elazar telling us? Rabbi Elazar, what's he telling us? We already know this from a Mishnah. Why? What Mishnah do we know this from? Tanina, we learned it in a Mishnah. Ha'omer li'isha, if a man says to a woman, kidashticha, I did kiddushin with you, we had erisin, and she said, lo kiddushtani, you never did kiddushin with me. So he says, I'm married to you, or at least have erisin. And she says, no, I have no idea who you are. I never saw you in my life. So he muteris bekrovav, v'hu aser bekrovav seha. So in this case, so for example, when each of them, when they get engaged, automatically there are certain people that they're usher to. So for example, when the man gets engaged to a woman, he automatically becomes usher, Rashi points out, with her mother, her sister, her daughter, etc. So the case is that the man may not marry any of those because he said, I'm married to you. So therefore, if he says, I'm married to you, I can't marry your sister. She, on the other hand, says, I was never married to you. So she can go marry anyone. She could go marry his brother. She could go marry the people that she would become usher to if she was engaged. So what do we see here? We see a case where a man says something about himself, and we paskin the halacha in that fact as relates to him, not as relates to her. So same issue here, where we're saying that since he says that she is not a basula, so as relates to him, she's usher, not as relates to fact in the world. So we see this concept of shave anafshi chaticha the isur, that he can make something usher on himself. We see it from this Mishnah that says that she can marry his relatives and he can't marry hers. So therefore, what did we need Rabbi Elazar to tell us? That we already know that a person can make something usher upon himself by saying this. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because mahu detema, I might have thought, hasam devadai kimle, in that case of Kiddushin, where he said he married her, he's 100% certain. He says, I did Kiddushin with you. There's no doubt about this. There's nothing questionable about it. Aval hacha, we would say, make him hudulai kimle, that he's not an expert. Remember, we're dealing with a guy who'd never been married before. How does he know what a Pesach Pesuach is? How does he know whether she's a virgin or not? Could be that she was constricted. She did have a hymen, and he didn't realize, or whatever it is. What makes him such an expert? So we might say, in the case where he says, I married you, there's no doubt. But here, since he himself presumably has some doubt, that therefore, we would say that the halacha isn't the same. And even if he says that he thinks that she's not a basula, we wouldn't believe him because what makes him such an expert? So the Gemara says, Kamash Mulan, therefore Rabbi Elazar was coming to teach us this, which is telling us something interesting. It said he could be wrong, but it doesn't make a difference. There's a book, Donny Deitch, was a guy who runs Deitch Inc., an advertising company. He has a book out there that says, often wrong, never in doubt. That's his book. But in other words, there's a similar concept here. He could be way wrong, but the fact is, as relates to himself, since he says, I'm certain that she's not a basula, as relates to him, that's a fact. And therefore, he becomes usher to her. Okay, so now we've established what's the case. We've established why we haven't learned it in the Mishnah before. But now the Gemara is going to ask, did Rabbi Elazar really say this? Because we have a different saying from Rabbi Elazar, which makes us think that he wouldn't have said this concept that he can make her usher on himself just by saying that he knows that she's not a besula. The Gemara says, "Umi amar Rabbi Elazar hachi." Did Rabbi Elazar really say this? V'hamar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Ein ha'isha neseres al baila, ella al iske kinoi v'stira." That a woman cannot become usher on her husband except in matters of kinoi and stira. Ukemaisa shahaya, and like the maisa shahaya, the story that happened, the reference there is to the story of David and Bathsheba. But let's take a step back. What does it mean when it says only with iske kinoi vistira? So we're all familiar with the concept of a sota. The concept of a sota is if a husband suspects his wife of being an adulteress, and so he warns her, he says, don't hang out with that guy, don't seclude yourself with him. And then she goes and secludes herself with him in front of Edim. Then the halacha is that she becomes usher to her husband until such time as she drinks the meisota, that she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks the meisota, and then the meisota determine whether or not she was faithful. So that's kinoi vestira. So what we're understanding Rabbi Elazar to be saying is that the only way a woman becomes usher on her husband is if he does kinoi and stira, and otherwise she can't become usher. Tosfos points out, and others, that this would mean, under this scenario, even if a husband walked into a room and saw his wife being mezana with another man, she's not usher to him. The only way she becomes usher to him is through kinoi and stira. But in any event, that's what it says. So the question is, if the only way she can become usher to her husband is based on kinoi and stira, on what basis, just because he comes in and says she's not a basula, do we say, therefore, she's usher to him? Who cares? The only way to become usher is through following this method of kinoi and stira. So the Gemara is going to ask a question on this, but the Gemara is first going to have trouble with the second part of what Rabbi Elazar says. He says in Ma'aseh Shehayah that this is the story with David and Bathsheba. So he says, and we know the story with David and Bathsheba, that Uriah Achiti, who was her husband, went out to war, and David took her as his wife, and in fact lived the rest of his life with Bathsheba when Uriah was killed in battle. So the Gemara says the Tisbra, and in fact the way Rashi understands it is it's saying, it's almost like the Gemara is saying, this brisa doesn't make any sense, so therefore is it a credible brisa? It says the Tisbra doesn't make sense. Ma'aseh Shehayah Bekinah V'Stira Hava was the story that happened. Or why are you referencing the story with David and Bathsheba? There was no Kinoy and Stira there. There was no case there. So on what basis are you saying that that's a case where you only become Asr on Kinoy and Stira? More importantly, Va'od, also Miasrua, did Bathsheba become Asr to David? In fact, we see that Bathsheba spent the rest of her life with David. So therefore, David or the rest of his life. I'm sorry?
David or Uriah?
Did she become Asr at all? So Rashi says, in fact, well, we're going to see in the Gemara, they talk about the fact, if she becomes Asr to the Baal, then she becomes Asr to the Baal. So in other words, the question is, did she become Asr to Uriah or David? From the fact that she stayed with David the rest of his life shows that she wasn't Asr on Uriah either. So the question is, how can you say the only way a woman becomes Asr is with Kinoy and Stira, and you see that by David HaMelech? First of all, who said there was Kinoy and Stira there? And second of all, she didn't become Asr. So what kind of proof is that? So the Gemara says, you're right that would be hard, but let me explain what he meant. He says, Hala Kasha, that's no Kasha. Hachi Kamer, this is what he was saying. Eina Isha Neseres Abayla El Aliske Kinoy and Stira. A woman only becomes Asr to her husband if there's Kinoy and Stira. Mi Maisa Shehaya, we see this on the Maisa Shehaya, the Loi have a Kinoy and Stira, that there was no Kinoy and Stira. The Loi Itzara, and she didn't become Asr. So he's saying, you're right. When he was saying the story, he wasn't saying the story as a proof of a case where there was Kinoy V'Stira. He was saying, you see that you don't become Asr if there is no Kinoy V'Stira, even though everyone knew that David HaMelech had relations with Bathsheba, that he didn't become Asr because there was no Kinoy V'Stira. So that's a raya to that fact. So fine, now we've answered the brisa and said it's a credible brisa from Rabbi Elazar. Mikol Makom Kasha, we're still left with our original Kasha. Kinoy V'Stira in Pesach Pesuach Lo, that if a woman had Kinoy V'Stira, she'd become Asr to her husband. Pesach Pesuach, not. So how could we say that Rabbi Elazar says that a man can Asr his wife just by saying that she's not a Besula? There was no Kinoy V'Stira. So the Gemara is going to say that the way it's going to answer this is saying, clearly we're not understanding this correct from Rabbi Elazar, because what Rabbi Elazar himself says makes no sense in a separate context. So L'taymech, according to your reason, Kinoy V'Stira in, you're saying that when there's Kinoy V'Stira, a woman can become Asr. Edim lo, are you saying that if there are two Edim that saw the woman being mezana with a man while she was between Erisin and Nesuin, are you suggesting that she's not Asr to her husband in that sense? We know Kimatzava Ervas Davar, that if you find Ervas Davar, which we learned from Mamanos two Edim, that if there are two Edim in matters of Erva, they're absolutely believed. And that's in our system, two Edim is the gold standard. So how can you say the only way a woman becomes Asr to her husband is with Kinoy and Stira by Sota? What about if two Edim came in and saw her? So it can't be that Rabbi Elazar is saying the only way a woman becomes Asr to her husband is through Kinoy and Stira. So Ela Hachikama, rather, what is he saying? He's saying, so what we're going to say is he's really not talking about a case. He's not talking about the only case where a man can make his wife Asr on him is through Kinoy and Stira. He's saying in a particular instance that's true. What is that? Ein ha'isha neseres habayla be'ed echad. Ordinarily, we know that if one witness comes and says, I saw them being mezana, we wouldn't believe him. So eid echad doesn't work. Ela b'shnei edim. Really, you need two edim. The Kinoy V'Stira, but if there was Kinoy V'Stira, I mean the husband suspected her enough that she was doing that, and he warned her, and she went in front of two Edim and was secluded. So we already know that at that time she can't be together with her husband until she drinks the Meisota. But now, Afilu Be'ed Echad Nami. Now we have one, if there's Kinoy V'Stira, so she's already suspect, and then one aid comes and says, I saw her being Mizana. In that case, the Eid Echad is Neman, which we learn out, Rashi explains, we learn out from the Psukim that discuss Sota to tell you that even that one Eid is believed. So therefore what's happening here is as follows, that the Rabbi Lazar's statement about kinei v'stira was not a general statement saying the only way a woman becomes asur to her husband is if she had kinei v'stira. It's saying the only way a woman becomes asur to her husband when there's only one witness is if there was kinei v'stira. But there are other ways a woman can become asur to her husband, for example, if two eidim come and see, and therefore by extension also if the husband says pesach p'tzuch matzasi, that could be grounds to asur her to him. And therefore, we're going to say, the Gemara says, "Upesach pasuach kishnei edim dami." Pesach pasuach is like two edim. What does that mean? We just learned that two edim is the gold standard, and that's okay. We treat that as a matter of certainty that she was mezana. If two edim come and say she was mezana, then we believe that. Similarly, if he is certain that she is not a basula, and therefore he thinks that she was mezana during the period between Erisin and Nisuin, therefore she's going to be asr on him. So Rabbi Lazar's halacha about kinei v'stira related only to Eid Echad, but in an ordinary case, Eidim would work, and in an ordinary case, his saying that she is Asur would also work. I'm sorry. Still battling this cold. Okay, so now, the way this works is, so now we're saying that we're talking about kinei v'stira and Eid Echad, but now remember the second part of Rabbi Lazar's statement had to do with the Maisa of David and Bathsheba. And the question now the Gemara is going to say, this is actually, the Gemara is saying, when he talked about Maisa Shaya, imagine he was saying the following. V'chi tema, it's saying Rabbi Lazar himself would say, v'chi tema, and if you're going to say Maisa Shaya in the case of David and Bathsheba, mipnei ma lo yasrua, why wasn't David asr on her? In other words, because you could say, and Tosis learns, Rashi says, because everyone knew, there were lots of Edom, everyone knew that David had sent for Bathsheba, and she came, and we assume that everyone knows that they had relations. Tosis doesn't like that, and Tosis says, the fact of the matter is, you didn't see it. You don't know. You think. You could suspect. So Tosis says, rather, the question is different. How could David HaMelech himself be together with her? He knew. So if it suffices for a husband to say, I'm certain that she was Mezana, then for David HaMelech, if he was Mezana with her, he would know that. And he would know it as a matter of fact. And therefore, if a husband's certainty that his wife was Mezana is enough, then in that case, and if we know if a woman is Mezana, Asur Labal, Asur Laboal, then since she would be Asur to Uri Achiti, she would be Asur to David HaMelech. So how can you say that David HaMelech stayed living with Bathsheba if, in fact, a husband's certainty that his wife if he's the Baal, if there definitely was a case of Znos, then she should be usher to him. That's the way Tosus understands the question. But in any event, so it's saying, Rabbi Lazar is saying, now, so I just told you that two Edim work and certainty worked, and even Eid Echad in the case of Kinei v'Stira. What happened in the Maisa Shahaya with David and Bathsheba? Why wasn't she usher on David HaMelech? So the Gemara gives two answers. Hasam Onesu. There, he was an Ones, which is generally understood that he was actually monitor, that he violated that by virtue of being the king and calling a woman, it was against her will. Another understanding is that Bathsheba was a ketana, and we know that if a ketana is not considered to have consented, it's considered the equivalent, even if she was willing at the time, but it's not considered halachic consent, and it's considered a case of onus in that case. So that's the first teretz, is how could David stay with her, is because this was an onus, and therefore, now this is very interesting, because when we say asur labal, asur laboal, we don't necessarily connect those two things. We know that the pasuk says twice v'nitma, which tells us that a baal and a boal are asur. The way the Gemara is understanding this, those are linked. This is what I was saying before. If there's a baal, if the baal is asur, then the boal is asur. If the baal is not asur, the boal is not asur. So therefore, the outcome of this answer, and this is possibly some of Farshim say why the Gemara gives a second answer, is because it's saying, let's say a man goes and violates a married woman. She's not asur to her husband. Under that scenario, if she's not asur to the husband, she's not asur to the baal. So a man can go violate a woman. Let's say for some reason her husband then divorces her. He can go marry her. He's not asur to her because since when he violated her, she didn't become usher to her husband. She didn't become usher to him either. So that's the answer. David HaMelech, since he was Ma'anes Bathsheba, therefore when Uri Achiti subsequently died, David HaMelech wasn't usher to her. The Gemara has some aspect of a discomfort with this, according to some Mefarshim, and therefore, v'yibayisema, it gives a second teretz. That why wasn't David HaMelech Aser on Batsheva? Ki had Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amr Rav Yonasan, that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said the name of Rav Yonasan, we're on, turn the page on Amr Beis, Kol HaYotzil HaMachamas Beis David, Gek Krisus Kosev LiYishto. That this was the practice when David HaMelech's soldiers went out to war, they would give a get to their wives. Why? One very easy reason is because what happened when they got killed at war and got lost or their body got captured or whatever it was? We don't want the woman to be stuck and being aguna. So this way, she has a get that is a retroactive get. If he doesn't come back from war, also, you know, he didn't want to necessarily make her go through the process of Yibum and Chalitza. So it's better to have a get. So there was this practice that David HaMelech instituted that all of his soldiers would give a get before they leave. So therefore, and that get is retroactive, at least according to the way Rashi understands. So therefore, how does that apply to David and Uriah? That even if David was Mizana with Batsheva, that the fact is Uriah got killed in war. He, like all soldiers of David, would have given a retroactive get. And therefore, when he dies, she's divorced from the time he first left for war. Therefore, when David HaMelech was together with Batsheva, she was retroactively divorced from before that, and therefore she's not usher to him because she wasn't legally married at that time retroactively. So that's the answer. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Dechsiv, because it's written, V'yasachicha tifkad l'sholom, v'yasarubasam tikach. The Pasuk says that, this is talking that Rashi explains that the Shaul was waging war. David's older brothers were soldiers of Shaul. They went, and their father Yishai sent David HaMelech, said, go check on your brothers, see how they're doing, and take their arubasam, take their aruba from them. My ves arubasam tikach, what does it mean you should take their aruba? Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Dvarim hamu'uravin beino leveino, things that link or connect him and her, meaning that Yishai told David HaMelech, go check on your brothers, and while you're there, tell them to give you a get in case they die at war. And Rashi says, David HaMelech thought this was such a good idea that his father gave him, that when he became king, when he sent out soldiers to war, he told them, make sure you write this get krisus so that your wives are not stuck. So that's the second answer for why David HaMelech was not usher on Batsheva. Okay. Now, Amar Abaya, we're onto a little bit of a new topic here, which is to say, same topic, but we're off what we were just talking about. So we learned that if someone says Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, if he says I found an open door, that she's usher on him, and we don't say that he doesn't know what he's talking about. In other words, we believe a husband, as relates to himself, to be certain that she that she's not a basula, and that therefore she's usher on him. So Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Afanat Nami Tanina. We've also learned this in a Mishnah. You know, I can bring support to this concept of Rabbi Eliezer. To say that a man can answer his wife on himself. Why? Because we learned in our Mishnah, Basula Nisis Liyom Ravi, a Basula should get married on Wednesday, Liyom Ravi in. She should get married on Wednesday, yes. Liyom Chamishi, lo. But she should not get married on Thursday. My time, what's the reason? Mishumi Krure Daito. Because his das is going to cool off. So we know we talked about this in the Mishnah, that the idea is if he gets married on Wednesday, they're together Wednesday night. If he finds no basulim, he'll come first thing in the morning. He's going to wake up and run to Bezdin because Bezdin meets on Thursday. On the other hand, if he gets married on Thursday night they're together. He wakes up Friday morning, he's upset, but there's no Bezdin. Shabbos morning, a little less upset. Sunday morning, less upset. By the time Monday comes around, he's chilled out already, and he doesn't go. So that's the reason our Mishnah said you have to get married on Wednesday. So the Gemara is going to say, Ulamai. What were we worried about that we wanted him to rush to Bezdin? Ila Mace of Laksuva, if we wanted to make sure that she would get that she would lose her ksuba and he doesn't have to give the ksuba, if that's what we're worried about, that he's going to end up giving her a ksuba, Nasev law, what do we care? In other words, we're giving him a right. Under this understanding of the Gemara, Rashi learned before differently a little bit, but on this understanding of Gemara, she would forfeit her ksuba. And the question is, so what do we care? If he's still angry enough Monday morning and he wants to save the money and not pay the ksuba, come to court. If you chilled out already and you were ready to pay her a ksuba, so pay her a ksuba. What do we care? Why do we want to tell you you have to get married on Wednesday in order to save the ksuba? So it can't be that that's what we're worried about, because we wouldn't make a gzeir to say everyone has to get married on Wednesdays to protect him if he chills out and doesn't want to say that she loses her ksuba. But so rather, what must be the reason? Elala osra alav. It must be that we're worried that if he's together with her and she doesn't have a basulim, we assume that she was mezana during the period between Erisin and Nisuin, and therefore we're going to tell him, we're going to, Rashi on in the beginning of the Masechta learned that hopefully other Edom will come and we'll figure out that she was mezana, and if she was mezana, then we're going to make sure that they don't live together anymore. So that's what the Mishnah was worried about. That's why we wanted everyone to get married on Wednesdays, so that they could come Thursday morning to determine if he's aser to her. Now, the Gemara says, Udukata in Taina. When it says in the Mishnah, we're not talking about bringing Edom, we're talking about the fact that the husband said, I didn't find Basulim. So you see, we're worried about if the husband says, I didn't find Basulim, that's sufficient to make her aser. And that's why we want to make sure that she comes in Thursday. He comes in Thursday morning while he's still bothered about it, because his saying that she is not a basula is sufficient to make her asar on him, and we want to make sure that they don't live together in sin. My love, okay, so we see a case where the husband coming in and making a claim is sufficient to make her asar. So that seems to support Rabbi Elazar's halacha. So the Gemara says, my love, aren't we talking the katayin tainus pesach pasuach, where he came in and said that she's a Pesach Pasuach, that he didn't find any constriction or constraint. So the Gemara said, and in which case, if that's what we're talking about, a Pesach Pasuach, and the husband says, I found a Pesach Pasuach, she becomes Aser, this would make our Mishnah a very good support to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Lo, the Katan Tainas Damim, that he came in, and we're not dealing with a case where he said Pesach Pasuach, we're dealing with a case where he came in and said that she had no blood, she had no bleeding, and therefore she's not a basula. Which is, so we now see there's two types of claims a husband can make when he has a tainus basulum. One is, I found no blood, and the second is, I found no resistance or constraint. One is much more certain than the other. In other words, it's certain in a couple of senses. We'll see a little later that there are factual circumstances that make it easier to know if there was blood or not. But more importantly, a guy can tell. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have been married before to know, was there blood on the sheet or no blood on the sheet, right? So therefore, it's much clearer of a taina. It's a stronger taina if someone says there was no blood. So the Gemara is saying, I could tell you that when our Mishnah was saying the husband comes in and we want him to come in on Wednesday so that Thursday morning he could go to Bezdin and make her usher, that's only by a taina's damim where he says, I found no blood. But if we're dealing with a case where it's dependent on a taina of Pesach Pasuach, where he says, I didn't find the constraint, who said in that case that we would necessarily asa her on him, and therefore our Mishnah is not necessarily a support for Rabbi Elazar's concept, because we're dealing with a case of Tainas Daman. Okay, so now, we had the halacha of Rabbi Elazar, who said that if a man comes in and says, my wife is not a basula, that she becomes asar on him as relates to him. We're now going to bring a halacha from Shmuel, which takes it a step further. Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Ha'omer Pesach Pasuach Matzah. See, if a husband comes in and says, I found my wife to be a Pesach Pasuach, Neman Lafsida Ksubasa. He is believed that she forfeits her Ksuba. If he comes in and says, I forfeit the Ksuba. So first of all, let's talk about a couple of things here. According to Rashi, if he's believed that she forfeits her ksuba, if she even forfeits her ksuba, for sure she's asar. So he's saying Rabbi Eliezer, that Shmuel would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that not only is she asar, Shmuel's adding on top of that, she also loses the ksuba. And according to Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer would not agree with Shmuel. He would say we believe him in as much as to make her asar on him, but we don't believe him to lose her ksuba, because since when do we take money from someone? A ksuba is her entitlement. When do we take money from someone in order, just because he said so? Especially him, who's like self-interested. He owes the money. We wouldn't even believe an external single witness. Why would we believe him to take away her ksuba? So why does Shmuel say it? What's the reason? How do we believe Shmuel? Shmuel, according to Shmuel, if he comes and says, Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, we say your ksuba is gone. On what basis? We just discussed the whole fact. What we said before is that he's believed as relates to himself. Shavya nafshi chaticha disura. But we don't necessarily say that as a matter of law we believe him. So if we don't as a matter of law believe him, on what basis do we take away her ksuba? So Rashi tells us that what's going on here, the reason Shmuel says this halacha, is because there's an umdana, there's a chazaka in play here, which is what? He just went and spent all this money on a big feast. If he doesn't like her, if he didn't like her in the first place, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or a month ago or 5 months ago when he started preparing, he should say, you know what, I don't like her that much. If he went through all the effort of making a party and spending all the money and time, chances are he wanted to be with her. If he's now coming into Beis Din and saying she didn't have Besulim, we assume it's not just to get out, to get a get-out-of-jail-free card, to get out of the marriage. If he wanted to get out of the marriage, he should have done it before he spent all the money. If he spent the money, it must be because he wanted to be with her. If he's now coming and saying, I want to divorce her, it's because we believe him that the reason he wants to divorce her is because she must have been unfaithful. And therefore, his claim that she's Pesach Pesuach, because he just went and spent all this money and wouldn't have wasted it, is therefore more believed. We believe it more. And therefore, we're willing to believe him because he has a chazakah in his favor. We're willing to believe him even as against his wife, and therefore take away her entitlement to ksuba. That's how Shmuel understands the halacha. But in any event, according to Rashi, Shmuel's adding on top of Rabbi Lazar, saying not only is she aser, but in fact she loses her ksuba. There are others, Tosas included, who learn a little bit differently. Some understand that Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar are actually in agreement with one, or could be in agreement with one another, but that's not how Rashi learns. She's believed. Rav Yosef says, similar to what we said before, my kamash malan, what are you telling us? That's not such a chiddush. Tanino, we learned it already in a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah we learned? It says, ha'ochel etzocham of Yehuda shelo be'edim, ein yachol litin tainis besulim, mipnei shem is yachid ima. It says someone who eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda without witnesses is not able to make a tainis besulim because he had been together with her. Okay, we encountered this briefly on Zayin Amud Beis. We talked about the fact that in Yehuda they would make the Birchas Erusin. They would make Sheva Brachas at Erusin because there was this custom in Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, that the Chasan and Kala would be together when they were between Erusin and Nisuin. Now they weren't supposed to have relations, but they were together. The Gemara says we're going to have it in a few days that in order that libo gaspa, that they should be comfortable with one another and they should actually be together on the night of the wedding. The Yerushalmi, I don't know if Rabbi Solomon mentioned this on Daf Zayin. The Yerushalmi explains the origins of this is that is an interesting Yerushalmi. He says that When they came to bury Yaakov Avinu, we know that Esav was trying to block his way into Marza Machpelah. There's the Chushim Ben Dan, they say, but the way it's brought in there is that Yehuda came up and killed Esav. And the Romans, who came from Esav, they resented this. And therefore, when they to get back at the Jews, when they were ascended and they were ruling over the Jews, they made this rule that we encountered before, the Bo'ol HaHegmon Tchilo, that first you have to have relations with the whatever minister or official, right? So therefore, in Yehuda, when they had this issue, they were worried about the following: that the woman is going to go. She's, you know, in those days they made a shidduch. The fathers might have negotiated whatever, or they're done in a different way. They don't know each other, the chas and kala. So what we're worried about is that they're going to go. She's going to go be boa with the hegman. She's going to be willing to do it, and then she's asur to her husband because it's between Erisin and Nisun, and if she willingly has relations, then she's going to become asur. So therefore, when they had the practice, they would seclude them together so they had a chance to spend time with each other so that they'd be comfortable with one another. So then when she was bold to the hegman, she would still want her husband and say, I don't want to be with this guy, in which case she wouldn't become asur. But in any event, they had this practice that in Yehuda they would be miyachid them. They weren't supposed to have relations, but evidently it used to happen sometimes. And it was sufficient concern that we're saying in our case that if it's in Yehuda where they were miyachid together during the period between Erisin and Nisuin, we would not allow him to say Tainis Basulin, because maybe you were the one, maybe she's not a Basulin, but maybe you were the one who did it between Erisin and Nisuin. So therefore, we see in the Mishnah, which we're going to encounter on Daf Yud Beis, that if someone goes to his in-laws and there are no edim that say that they weren't together, he loses the right to make a tainis besulim because he was together with her. So the Gemara is medayik. Yehuda hu delo matzi tain. In Yehuda, he can't make a taina. Habagalil, but in Galil, where they didn't have this habit or this practice of having them be together, matzi tain, he could make a claim. So the Gemara is saying, ulamai, for what purpose is he making the claim? Ila osra lov. If we're saying whether he can aser her on himself, meaning Shavi Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura, Yehuda my law, why shouldn't he be able to do it in Yehuda? So now let's think back for a second. We're talking about Shavei Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura. We're not talking about establishing as a matter of law that they were together. We're talking about saying that as relates to him, he believes that she's not a Basula, and therefore she's usher to him. So even in Yehuda, if he's saying she's not a Basula, and he's saying, I know I wasn't together with her during the period between Erisin and Nisuin, so as a matter of law, we might not believe him, but as relates to himself, of course we should believe him. So she should be usher on him, whether it's Yehuda or Galil, because if a husband is saying, I am positive that my wife is not a Basula, and it didn't come from me, so therefore she should be usher. So it can't be that we're saying in Yehuda we don't believe him to asa her on him. Of course we should believe him. It's no different than Galil. So therefore, Ilo Asar Lo Yehuda my lo. If it's to asa her on him, even in Yehuda, why not? El Alav must be talking about Lav Sida Ksubasa, that the issue is that she loses her Ksuba, and therefore in Yehuda, where they were together and we think there's a high probability or some probability that they themselves were Mizana, so therefore he can't come and say she's not a Basula and she should lose her Ksuba. But in Galil, where they weren't together, if he says she's not a Basula, in that case, she would lose the Ksuba. So you see from the Mishnah, when it says in Yehuda you can't make the Tanya in Galil, you can, it can't be talking about Asering, because that should be true in either place. It must be talking about whether she loses the Ksuba. And if we're talking about a case of Pesach Pasuach, that would mean that this Mishnah on Yud Beis is a good support for Shmuel's halacha that she loses the ksuba. So we say, udekata in taina, and the case is a taina, there are no edim. My live, aren't we talking about the kata in taina's Pesach Pesuach? Aren't we talking about a case where the husband is saying Pesach Pesuach, and we're saying in that case, we believe him in Galil, but we don't believe him in Yehuda? Gemara says, lo. The kata in taina's damim, same answer as we said before, that really what he's saying here is we're not talking about a case where he says Pesach Pesuach, I'm pretty sure I didn't encounter a constraint or a restriction, but rather it's the more clear case of saying I didn't find Dam. And Rashi explains, and in fact, Rashi explains that there used to be a practice, and we're going to see it on Daf Yud Beis, that they would have people would go in the room beforehand to make sure that the husband, that she didn't bring in a mappa that had blood on it, that he didn't take the mappa and substitute it with a clean mappa, that there used to be shashpinin who would come. So a tainus damim, a claim that there was no blood, is a much more certain claim. So in that case, maybe she loses the ksuba. But in the case that Shmuel was talking about, where Pesach Pesuach, where he just says, I didn't encounter restriction or restraint, it's not clear that our Mishnah on Yabez is not clear that it's telling us that in fact we would believe him to be mafsid or ksuba on just a claim of Pesach Pesuach, only on a claim of Tainus Domin.